growing in her in herself, and I'm blanking on the word here. Come on. I'll come back to it. I don't know. What word am I looking for, guys? Her confidence.
Oh my God, finally. Hey everyone, welcome to Barside Chats. I'm Brian the Gleeman.
And I'm Matt the Innkeeper.
And this is a Wheel of Time podcast from the Dusty Wheel. Welcome back to Barside Chats. I'm Brian the Gleeman. Matt the Innkeeper is out this week. His son Taylor is getting married. And he'll be back next week. Matt will be back next week. I don't know when Taylor will be back. But Matt will be back next week on Barside Chats. In the meantime, I have a special co-host this week, a Barside Chats regular, Mary, a.k.a. Frenzy. Mary, welcome to the show.
How's it going, Gleeman?
It is great. It is great. It's great to see you. Great to have you.
Happy to be here.
And yeah, and our special guest today is Carrie, an old friend of ours from the Theoryland days. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Hey, you guys.
Yeah, good to see you.
It's great to see you. It's great to see you. It's been a long time since we've seen each other.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about a topic. It was Carrie's suggestion. We're going to talk about Egwene and Nynaeve, who are two of, I think, the best characters from the TV show this season, for the first season. But we wanted to talk a little bit about Egwene and Nynaeve and how they worked in the show and how maybe similar and different they are from the books, and just kind of run with that. So, Carrie, do you want to kick us off? What did you think about Egwene and Nynaeve's portrayal in the show?
Well, I mean, I really liked him. I mean, I think I have a really different headcanon. Like, I'll just say it. People will probably jump on me, but like, when I'm reading, I don't always follow descriptions. So, like, it took me a second to picture Nynaeve. Because in my head, and I know this is wrong, she's always a short little blonde girl. Sorry about that, guys. So anyway,
yeah, <that's wrong>.
Sorry, guys. Well, for starting with Nynaeve, I mean, at first I thought she came off too aggressive in the first episode, but then I realized that I feel like they're really that very protective of everyone else, chip on your shoulder, had to come across really fast and quick. And so far I really like the way that's going. And I almost think they're showing her soft side with Lan too fast. But again, show, you got to pack all that in. So I think Nynaeve is pretty, I mean, other than the fact that they didn't turn her blonde, I think that they're doing a really good job.
You know, Nynaeve is, she's not a short blonde woman in the books.
No.
They very clearly described not as that, but I didn't think I had much of a visual image of her in my head either. Just kind of a vague, I kind of pictured her as taller than she is actually, but kind of vague, like somebody who's kind of bossed me around a little bit and had a long braid and, you know, and tugged on it all the time. And that's kind of the extent of my visualization of her. So when I saw Zoe Robbins on screen as Nynaeve, I was like, oh, totally works for me. Was there a disconnect between what you imagined and what you saw on the screen, Mary?
I'm not too terribly married to my headcanons, and I'm completely fine with the fact that what I'm going to see is not going to match what's in my head whatsoever, and that's a good thing. So I was very impressed with Zoe's portrayal of Nynaeve. Nynaeve's one of my favorite characters in the book, easily top three, if not top two or favorite. It just bounces around. But her portrayal in the show, you know, it was different, but I liked it. You know, the name yourself stranger moment, you know, seems like you said, Carrie, very kind of aggressive right at the start. It's not very welcoming when you're walking into an inn, you know, customer service, it is not. But that's not really what she's there for. She is the wisdom of the Two Rivers. She serves a leadership role and a protective role. And that's what she jumped, you know, right into.
What did you think was different? I mean, obviously more aggressive, but did you ladies think that there was much more that was super different about her in the show from the books?
They toned down her absolute jealousy of Moiraine. which I'm fine with. She can have a hate-hate or a love-hate relationship with Moraine without it being based on jealousy. You know, it could be based on anger that, you know, the world that she knew has turned upside down and she's pinning that on Moraine, right or wrong or otherwise. That's a motivation that makes more sense to me.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I like that take on it as well. The one thing different from the books, though, it doesn't, it only briefly mentions her struggle with being a young wisdom and having authority. So I kind of missed that byplay in the beginning between the women's circle and the men and everyone feeling that she's too young for the responsibility. They did touch on it. So I'm glad that part was there. I just wonder how that's going to play out more in the books, because that's a big thing for her throughout the book. So I wonder how that'll play out in the show, her feeling too young for everything, how that will come across.
One of the things I missed in the first couple of episodes was, I think to your point, the interplay between the women's circle and the village council and kind of this like small town politics that feels so important, right? It feels like everything is critical to the success of everybody. And then you find out that Moraine and Land Command, and oh, there's a whole world out there that's even more important, and this is just petty squabbling, and we didn't really get that in the first couple of episodes, and that, I think you're right, is key to setting up Nynaeve's character in the books, because you're right, she's insecure, like she's kind of a bully, she's kind of running over people, railroading people to do what she wants them to do, but she's doing it because of this opposition that she got and that she continues to get in the books from the people that are older than her. And they say, you're too young to be a wisdom. You're too young to have this kind of authority. But they end up doing what she wants anyway, which is like an interesting thing in the books. And in the show, they just kind of like glossed over that. And they went straight to, oh, here's a tough woman who bosses everybody around. And then there's that one scene where she confesses to Moraine that she's, I'm too young, you know, or whatever. So I agree with you. I think that was an interesting element there. What else about Nynaeve do you think is interesting in this show besides just her personality? You mentioned, Carrie, that the relationship with Lan felt a little rushed. Obviously, it's a show. They have to pack a lot of it into that. But did you like the way they played the relationship, or was your critique mainly that it's just too fast?
I do like it. I'm okay with it because I'm 100% for them getting together. Like that's giddy making stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's okay in the show. I think it's faster than it would normally have gone. But then everyone is aged up in the show, so the romance, you know, all that stuff is a little bit different. It happens different because they're aged up. Yeah, I think I'm pretty good with everything in the romance so far in the show.
I like how it started off antagonistic. You know. Literally with a knife to the throat. That's a departure from the books. Makes for great TV. Makes for an interesting relationship dynamic going from, you know, what's the trope? Enemies to lovers.
Enemies to lovers. Yeah. My favorite trope.
Yeah, yeah. It's just so satisfying. You know, when, you know, oh, you actually tried to kill me, was just like, oh, I love that.
Yeah.
He had her tied to a tree. And when I saw that, I actually busted up laughing because it was just so ridiculous. But even tied to the tree, she was just, you know, snarly and mean. You know, she was the badger in the bag, right? We didn't have that scene, but she was like, you know, you want my help, you need my help, but here I am tied to the tree. Who's the idiot here?
Yeah, I love that.
Gets to the point where she can help Moraine. And even though she hates her, still is somebody who needs her skills and her care and gives it to her. You know,
have either of you read The Eye of the World recently?
Within the last year.
Within the last year, okay.
2 years, maybe. 2 years.
2 years, okay. I read it about 6 months ago, and I think we forget sometimes as longtime readers that the romance in the books was very abrupt.
Yes.
They almost didn't really acknowledge any of it till they get to Valdara, and then Nynaeve basically confesses her love to Lan, and he says, sorry, can't do it, I'm I'm a soldier for the Blight, you know? And when I, every time I read that book, I'm like, oh, that just came out of left field. So I do appreciate the show putting a little bit more foreshadowing. It did kind of go from 0 to 100 very quickly because of the compression of the show. But at least from the very first episode and second episode, you do get hints of this relationship that's actually happening. But you don't really get that in the books.
Well, and now I'm just going to disagree, because in the book, when, for me, my interpretation in the books, when he was impressed with her tracking them, I was like, I felt like there was something there, you know, and maybe it was just me reading Respect, and maybe it's because I haven't read it in a while, I'm thinking about it differently, but when he's impressed with her tracking, that to me was like the first hint that something was going to happen.
Do they really interact in the books more often with the kind of flirting or anything? Because I don't think they do. Of course,
as close to is what flirting is in the books, and what flirting is for, you know, a very stoic, emotionless Lan from Eye of the World.
Yeah,
that's true, and it's also worth remembering that the books are told from the perspective of Rand. And Rand is completely clueless with women. So we're only seeing the scenes where they are floating in front of him, effectively, right?
Pretty much.
And so that explains quite a bit of that. Mary, you also mentioned Nynaeve's relationship with Moraine and how that changed over time. Do you think that was portrayed well?
The vibes I got from the show were Moraine was respectful of Nynaeve. Even in that scene in the sacred pool, it's like, you know, you have your position and you earned it, but you couldn't have had it for long. So there was an element of respect there, even as Moraine was fishing for Nynaeve to reveal how old she actually was. In the books, she kind of treats Nynaeve as a, you know, kind of there, and oh, she's mad at me. Great, whatever. It doesn't bother me, but I'm gonna keep, you know, poking at her just to keep her off balance, because that's what I do, and to guide her where she needs to be, even because she doesn't want to be. So it's very manipulative in the books, which makes sense because she's Aes Sedai. That's what they do. And in the series, there's an element of respect coming from Moraine, and Nynaeve doesn't know what to do with it. Is how I see it. How I see Zoe playing it.
I think they got to the Nynaeve got to the begrudging respect a lot faster in the series, obviously, because in the books it takes a long time for her to get there. So they sped that up. So I do wonder how that will play out in other places, because there are places in the book where Nynaeve's distrust of Moraine and hatred guide other people's decisions. So now that she's come to that begrudging respect a lot faster, I do wonder how that'll play out more.
I loved the scene where Nynaeve joined the warders around their campfire and listened to them banter with each other.
Yeah,
she seemed to vibe with them really well. And she loosened up a bit and was able to ask questions and got answers that were not, you know, that didn't treat her like she was, you know, a hayseed from some random podunk mountain town. It was, you know, you have some preconceived notions that aren't really, that don't reflect reality. Here's our reality. And she accepts that. She sees what, you know, they show her and they tell her, and it questions her those preconceived notions, and it makes her think.
Yeah, agreed. I think it really does. I love the way, I mean, in the books, I felt it was this way too. And in the series, they're doing it how, like, you know, the Aes Sedai are definitely manipulative and have their own agendas and are working in secret, you know, the way Leandrin comes at Nynaeve a couple different times or whatever. But with the warders in the book and the series, they're just men who are proud to serve their Aes Sedai, and they have a brotherhood, and they're not all wrapped up in the plots. I mean, they are to a point, right, with their individual Aes Sedai, but it stops at that brotherhood. And like having those fireside chat with Nynaeve, it was just like she got to see real people and how real people can care for the Aes Sedai, you know. So I thought that was kind of brilliant.
I guess one of the complaints I had about the show was they didn't properly make the Aes Sedai as scary to normal people as they did in the books. You know, not everybody kind of just sees them and instantly acts respectful toward them, and there wasn't a lot of like "you witch" kind of thing like you see in Bear-Lon and even in the Two Rivers. I mean, there's a little bit of it, but not as much as I thought maybe there should be. But I do appreciate what you just said, Carrie, with the warders basically showing that Aes Sedai don't have to be universally reviled people. Like, they can be people that are deserving of respect and loyalty outside of fear, right? So I think that's a great observation. I personally love the fireside chat scenes. I think that those were great world building moments, great character development moments. It didn't really feel like it moved the plot forward, but it did add to the world of the Wheel of Time and make you feel like there's more to it than what we have seen already, which is great. Once we get to the next episode, episode 5, you see a lot more warders, a lot more Aes Sedai, and all of the politics and the intrigue becomes much more in your face. And I think if without those fireside chats with Nynaeve, we would have maybe been thrown into the deep end a little too quickly. So I think
that wouldn't have worked.
It's kind of a smart move. Well, let's talk about Egwene for a little bit. Like, Carrie, let's start us off here. What did you think of Madeline's portrayal of Egwene in the show? How they wrote her character compared to how she is in the books? Anything that you liked, didn't like?
I pretty much liked it all. I had a very vague headcanon for Egwene. So it was just, I know, right? I don't know. I thought she was really great. Her ambition, she's really portraying that very well. I think it's in the books, I think she was a little more ambitious. And then they've made her a little more caring in the series. That's my take on it, definitely. And I like that a little bit more because in the books, it's easy to really dislike Egwene at first. And in the series, I'm finding I like her a little bit better at this stage in the story, that she has more compassion. But yeah, I mean, I think they're building that steel resolve no matter what. I think they're doing a really good job of building that up. So yeah, I'm really happy with Madeline's portrayal. It's great.
Yeah, I'm loving Madeline as Egwene. It just starts off the entire show with her, you know, yeeted into the river. And
yeah, eat that bitch.
and having to learn how to survive being thrown into a river and to come out of it and come out of it stronger. And then, you know, you see her in the inn, you know, serving tables, working with her family. You see her washing the dishes. You see her,
the dishes.
Yeah, yeah. and other things that you can do alone in the kitchen with your significant other. You see her, you know, during the Trolloc attack, you know, just the start of the Trolloc attack, she's just, you know, doing the village dance with, you know, what I assumed was Will Austin. It's like, oh, look, there's a pretty boy. Oh, he has an axe sticking out of his chest. You know, that was just a, whoa, things are getting real in a hurry here. And then the one scene that always sticks in my mind with Egwene is the scene in, I think it was episode 6, where right before the Tinkers confront the White Cloaks, and Perrin and Aram are talking about the Way of Leaf and turnip curries, and then Egwene comes bounding in, and she's just so excited, and it's that, you know, that she saw Tar Valon and she's excited. She's not, there's big things going on in the world, and they had to leave their home to protect their families, but she still has that element of excitement and anticipation. I don't want to call it childlike, but it's just, you know, she's enjoying part of this journey. You know, it takes a sudden left turn shortly after that scene. So I'm curious to see what'll happen after that, but, yeah, she just kind of bounced in like a happy little bunny.
Yeah, that was a really great scene.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think when you read the books, sort of very the first time we meet Egwene, she's very excited to potentially be the Wisdom's apprentice, and she's like, oh, the Wisdom doesn't marry. So sorry, Rand, you know, and then the moment Maureen shows up and like drives her off, she's like, well, maybe I want to go off and have adventures too. And it's just like this. it is a little childlike. It is a little like that that teenager, I don't know what I want in life, and any the most exciting thing out there is what I want to get, and I can change on a whim. And I think that was a pretty good portrayal of that, because she very quickly unbraids her hair. She very quickly starts deferring to Moraine. And then there are several scenes where she keeps looking back and forth between Nynaeve and Moraine. She's like, wait, which one am I supposed to be? Am I supposed to be listening to? Because she's not a leader yet. And even in the whole first season, she doesn't really step up to be a leader. She's still the follower. But, you know, like you guys said, she has gone through some major stuff in the first couple of episodes and even the last couple of episodes. And she, you know, is planting the seeds of that, like, steel rod with the scene with the White Cloaks that you were referencing, Carrie. Like, that's where she really kind of stands up for herself and finds her steel core, if you will, that she's willing to fight. So I thought that was I thought the portrayal that Madeline did of Egwene was just top notch. She's the one character that does not match my headcanon in any way. Like, that's not just not how I pictured Egwene. And I still, every time I see her on the screen, I'm like, oh, who is that? Oh yeah, that's Egwene. And so I'm struggling a little bit with that. But otherwise, I thought the portrayal was pretty awesome. I don't know who I had in my head, though. I guess the closest I could think of would be like Hermione or Emma Watson from Harry Potter, because I just imagine this like brown-haired, like doe-eyed, pretty girl who's like, I'm off to see the wizard. Let's go. You know,
right. Like, I'm off to learn everything, you know? And be the best at it.
Yeah,
there are definitely parallels.
Yeah.
I like how she was in the scene with the White Cloaks, how she was already practicing speaking like an Aes Sedai, right? Because in the books, she does that, right? She learns very quickly, it seems, in the books, how to speak like an Aes Sedai. And I like how Moraine went over the three oaths with her, you know, so completely, and how they really focused on that. And then she was already doing it in that scene, you know, I can't channel. She could touch the source. She knew she could touch the source. And that's not what she's saying. She's saying, I can't channel, because she hasn't learned yet, you know? Right. And so, like, she's already practicing that.
Yeah, that's a great observation. I didn't catch that. That's good. What do the two of you think about the way they portrayed Egwene and Rand's relationship? Because in the books, it's fairly chaste. They're more or less, like, promised to each other. But on the show, they're boinking, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. The show is definitely a little bit more intimacy forward compared to the books. And what's funny is both Robert Jordan and Brandon Sanderson shied away from that, you know, from that level of physicality. And that's just wasn't their comfort zone. So, which is fine. You know, they had great characters, and that's what, you know, headcanons and fan fiction are for. But with the show, their relationship, you know, I liked it in the first episode. You know, they were, you know, farther along in their togetherness than they were in the books. And then so when they had the conversation of Egwene, you know, wisdoms never marry, and Rand, it's like accepting that and still supporting her. I was just like, oh, this is beautiful. This is great. This is, you know. This is so mature. That's not Rand, but I still like seeing it. And then in the second episode, you see, you know, Rand kind of, you know, going through the stages of grief. He was in anger at that point. And he still kind of had that seed of anger about their relationship not going the way he wanted it. And so there was elements of that, but then it kind of wrapped up with the last episode in episode 8, where, you know, he was, you know, tempted with everything he wanted. All he had to do was make it so. And, you know, he said, well, what about what she wants? This isn't what she wants. I know this isn't what she wants, because this is what she told me she doesn't want. So this isn't right. No matter how much I might want it, it's not right. So I think if the show follows the books for Rand's relationships, I think they've laid the groundwork for it.
Yeah, I think so. I think what you just said about how he just handled everything with Egwene to relay the groundwork for the relationships coming. Yeah, I mean, definitely. I enjoyed the relationship. I thought it was very realistic, because even if they didn't age him up in the show, you know, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, they are realistically already having those kinds of relationships. You know, even though Jordan didn't write it in there, in our modern times, in reality, and probably in all times, not just modern times, that's, kids are already experimenting with each other in that way. And we experience those kinds of really intense relationships at those ages. So it felt really realistic that, you know, even though they're younger in the, they're older in the series, younger in the books, it doesn't matter, because at that stage, either one, feelings are intense. They're, people are thinking about their future and thinking they're going to live with these people for the rest of their lives. So I like that it added more realism to it. And I'm perfectly happy with it. I do like that Rand is more mature about it in the series as opposed to the books. And I do like that Egwene is a little more caring of him than in the books.
All right. $64,000 question. What do you think of the Rand Egwene Perrin love triangle?
Well, shoot, I don't know. I mean, I guess for the show, it's something like a, you know, Jordan had plenty of red herrings in the books. So maybe for the series, they're trying to make sure they have something like that in there. So I guess, you know, tossing that out there to add a little confusion, get people thinking and wondering and theorizing, I can see that. But like, for me personally, meh, I don't, you know, I mean, because I've read the books, right? So for me, it's like, meh, whatever.
It was in the book that Perrin did have feelings for Egwene. They just explored it a lot more in the show. I think that there's nothing wrong with Perrin having feelings for Egwene. Egwene doesn't reciprocate those feelings. And so Perrin had moved on. Doesn't mean he still doesn't hold that in his heart at some level, even though he was married to Layla in the show. I have opinions about that, but that's a different topic.
Different episode.
We might even have done that one already. But in that episode 7, I think it was 7 or 8, they're starting to blur. I've watched them so many times. It's awesome. You know, where Perrin and Egwene talk and they ask, hey, are you okay? And yeah, are we okay? Yeah, we're always okay. So they still have that deep friendship, even though it is not, it's just platonic, even though one of them may have wanted more than a platonic relationship. They still have that friendship and that trust between them. And if the show follows the books, they're both going to move on, but they still have that friendship. And I hope they maintain that friendship in the series, because in the books, they kind of drift apart.
Do you think non-readers enjoyed the love triangle?
From what I've seen on Twitter, it was an interest, you know, there was a lot of talk about it. I don't know if they liked it or enjoyed it. The non-reader that I live with, that we've watched the series with, hasn't really talked about it at all, but I haven't really asked about it specifically either. I just asked for kind of general impressions.
My non-reader thinks that it would be neat if they got together. And my non-reader, I've been trying for the last 12 years to get to read the books, and they won't do it. And then they send me a text message. Oh my God, I watched The Wheel of Time. It's fantastic. And I'm just like, really?
That's what took it? It took a TV show to get you to do that?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Oh, man. She's
read a bunch of my other books, but she just wouldn't go for Wheel of Time. So now I know. So, but she, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't want to give anything away for her, you know, so I was real like, oh yeah, whatever. But she likes Perrin over Rand, so
I like
so
her.
I think she has some hopes, but like, you know, it's not something she was focused on. She was really excited about Lan and Nynaeve, though.
Speaking of the future of these characters, I don't want to get too deep into spoilers, so we'll keep this as character focused as we can rather than plot focused. But what are you hoping to see from Egwene and Nynaeve in season 2? We, the three of us, know what the actual plot line is, but we mentioned a little bit about it setting up some of the stuff in season 1, was setting up stuff for the future. Let's talk about that. What do you think, what are you hoping to see for both Egwene and Nynaeve in season 2, Carrie?
I really want to see them learn more about power. So hopefully hopefully there'll be a lot more of them. Well, I mean, it doesn't have
to
be
like
a lot.
Full-on like Hogwarts experience with the two of them, or
I mean, I did love those parts of the books when they're deep in the experience of learning, you know, or deep in scrubbing a pot. Those were all really good character development things, right? But in this series, I know that it can't go nearly as deep as I want. But I have faith so far that the really important aspects from learning about the power, they'll be able to put in the show. So I am impatiently waiting for those episodes where I think they'll be able to give me what I need there.
Maybe they can do like a cool montage sequence that shows a lot of time is passing and they're taking notes and scrubbing pots and taking more notes and scrubbing more pots. And
I'd be okay with that.
I'd be okay with that. I think that'd be cool.
The last scene in season 8, so the battle at Tarwyn's Gap with Lady Amelisa and the Circle fighting off the Trollocs, and then the aftermath of that where Nynaeve and Egwene were the only ones to survive that. You know, that's probably going to be a traumatic experience for them. Although, you know, Egwene did stab him and Valda in the back. Not that, and he totally deserved it.
And they faced
it,
a bunch of Trollocs.
And they faced Trollocs twice now. So so trauma, I guess, is relative. Uncle Trauma. Yeah. They all have an Uncle Trauma. They just had a very, very strong near-death experience there. And they probably both channeled more of the power than they had and for a sustained amount of time than they had before. Both the times that we saw Nynaeve channeling, it was just, you know, large bursts that weren't too terribly sustained, but very powerful. I think they're going to have to come to grips with their abilities and their potential. And not only that, but what people are going to want to do with that, whether it's Moraine or Leandrin or anybody else that they happen to encounter. And we know also from the very end scene of season 8 that there's some pretty big stuff about to hit the fan over on the Western Shore. And they're likely going to be involved in that, and it's going to be messy. And I don't know how they're going to show it on screen versus what they did in the books, but that was a real big character development point for both of them, that whole interaction with the Seanchan. I'm looking forward to seeing that. It's not going to be pretty, though. It wasn't pretty in the books.
It was not pretty in the books.
So
it'll be visually exciting, but be very tough for all of them. Both of you hit the nail on the head there. Like, I think that what I'm most excited to see is Egwene coming into her own as a leader, as a person with her own opinions, who's not just following Nynaeve, not just following Moraine. We know from reading the books that doesn't happen immediately. Like, she still follows some other people and gets into some horrible trouble. But I think season 2 is the season where we'll start to see her get a little bit more of that steel core that she developed in the White Cloak tent. I'm also interested in the relationship side of things. Rand is gone now for who knows how many episodes. Perrin is potentially going off on his adventure, presumably to chase the horn with Padan Fain. And then, you know, Nynaeve and Egwene are probably going to go learn how to be Aes Sedai. That's probably the thing that's going to happen. So what happens to the relationships then?
So I think the relationships, everybody's going to kind of go follow their own path, but how are they going to stay intertwined? You know, they've built these relationships between the characters, and in the books, they all go and often do their own thing, and more characters are introduced and more relationships are built. But, you know, and I remember just back in the day, every book is like, when is everybody going to get back together? When is everybody going to, you know, share what they've learned and share what they've experienced? And, you know, we got a little bit of that here and there in the books, but really not a lot. So I kind of hope we see more of that in either more of that coming back together or keeping the storylines closer to each other so that the characters and relationships continue to grow.
Or develop some sort of mechanics in the series where communication is easier maybe more people are able to communicate through dreams or come up with a Turing Braille that they can communicate with. So they have more communication, even if they're far apart, like in the books, they have a better means of communication. I think that would be a good plot device for
this.
That's never going to happen.
You know, the fundamental, physics of the world, the fundamental storyline is that nobody talks to each other about anything.
But that's also the craziest.
they just need to go to that inn in Teleron Riyadh, you know, hang out at the bar, have some barside chats, and talk to each other, for crying out loud.
Something.
But it's not going to happen, unfortunately. We're gonna see Egwene grow in her confidence, grow in her leadership. And we see that in the books too. I think season two with Nynaeve, we're gonna see in season one and in the early books, Nynaeve's like, I gotta get my people away from Moraine. I gotta get my people home safe. We all gotta go back home and screw the rest of the world. I think she has to change that mindset and realize that it's not just the Two Rivers that needs her protection. It's not just the Two Rivers people that she needs to look out for. She needs to broaden her horizon there and care about what happens to the rest of the world, not just how it interacts with the Two Rivers, but that the rest of the world is worth her time and energy to protect. And I think we're going to start seeing some of that in season two for Nynaeve.
I think so too. Like Nynaeve especially, because as her confidence grows as a healer, where she came from in the Two Rivers, healer and leader were synonymous. And out in the world, healer and leader aren't. So she grows more into her role as a healer. She's still a leader in her own right, but she's not... She learns that healing is her path, as opposed to a leader, and being a leader is Egwene's path, because those two roles were intermixed in the Two Rivers. And then as she moves in the world, she learns that they're not the same thing for her anymore, that her role is really as a healer. Which, I mean, she's still a leader, she's still important, but she's not a driving force anymore. Like, I think that's part of her character development.
That's an excellent point.
One thing that they didn't really talk about in the show, but I think it's still there, they just didn't talk about it, is Nynaeve's block. In the books, she doesn't. The block really isn't introduced until book two, I think. Nynaeve struggles to channel intentionally, even in the books. It's always when she gets angry, when she gets upset, you know, and that's what happens. So I'm hoping to see more of that and more explicit discussion around, you know, how does Nynaeve in particular channel? Like, Egwene has demonstrated that she can channel when she wants to, but Nynaeve hasn't. And she's almost in a little bit of denial until even after the first channeling where she healed everybody in the cave with Loghain. But, you know, it wasn't really until the ways that I think it really clicked and she realized that she was actually channeling and it wasn't just a fluke. So I'm interested to see them develop that a little bit more as well. Especially because, as Suwan mentioned in episode 6, I believe, Nynaeve is the most powerful, one of the most powerful female channelers alive. And so that's an interesting direction for her to grow, I think, in the next season, which will be fun to watch.
And I think Carrie talked about this when Leandrin first went to talk to Nynaeve. She's like, oh, you know, I have this potential recruit here. And especially when Leandrin figured out that Nynaeve doesn't like Moraine, you know, that smile that she had was just, you know, predatory, absolutely predatory. And as she leaves, you know, Nynaeve says, that woman is a snake, completely saw through Leandrin. And, you know, I think that speaks to Nynaeve's leadership. She understands politics, even if she doesn't understand the scope of what the Aes Sedai are capable of.
Yeah, she does. Definitely. I have something that I want to see that was in the books, and I think they've kind of set it up for it to happen. So Swan's relationship with both Nynaeve and Egwene. So, you know, when they have that, I want to see Swan teaching Egwene and Nynaeve. So I don't want to do any spoilers, but, like, you know, for those who have read the books, I think you know what I'm talking about. And for those who are just watching the series, if they add this, it will be fun. It will be nice to see. And it'll showcase just how powerful and talented like inherently talented, both Egwene and Nynaeve are.
Yeah, yes. Watch and find out, folks.
Yeah.
Waffle.
It'll be great. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, why don't we just leave it there? That was a great conversation about Egwene and Nynaeve and what we think of them. I personally have been exceedingly happy with Madeline and Zoe's performance in the show. I think the casting was spot on. I think that they nailed the characters, they nailed the personalities. I think the plot arcs for both of them in the show was really good and got a lot of character development in the season. There were some scenes, you know, that we talked about that we didn't get to see explicitly in the show, but they added some other ones like the fireside chats with Nynaeve. I thought that all of that was great. And I just think that these are two of my favorite characters, even from the, you know, reading the books. I always gravitated towards the guys because I'm a guy, but you know, my more recent rereads, I've been gravitating more toward Egwene and Nynaeve as two really powerful characters and emotionally charged, powerful characters. And I think the show is really setting that up from the start, which I think is really fun. It's really cool. Carrie, thank you so much for joining us. I know it was your first time at Barside Chats. We hope you had a good time. And it's great to have you on the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. It was great.
Yeah, it was great to see you. Great to see you again. And Mary, as always, it's great to have you at the Barside.
Love hanging out at the bar side.
If you like this show, please leave us a review at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you next time at the bar side. Barside Chats is a Dusty Wheel production, jointly hosted by Brian the Gleeman and Matt the Innkeeper. If you would like to support this podcast, please leave us a review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, or you may email us at podcast@thedustywheel.com.